I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He's back in. He's gone a couple of weeks. Maybe the best shows we've ever done, in fact.
I'm sure it was, Mike.
He is Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Pastor, happy Thanksgiving. It's good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you, and happy Thanksgiving to you, Mike, and to our listeners, and I'm glad to be back. It was 51 hours in the car from Oklahoma to New Jersey to northern Pennsylvania and back to Wisconsin.
You and Kathy ever talk about me in the car?
We sure did, because I met a guy in Pennsylvania whose son went to Bucknell and played basketball, and they would like to come on Faith in the Zone, so I was really talking you up. I let everybody know you're the host of the show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it was awesome.
I'd like to just be a fly on the wall in that car when my name comes up and it's just you and Kathy. I'm wondering.
It's very popular, Mike. Yeah. I mean, Mama Bear loves whoever invests in her boys, and you and Terry and your family did.
Well, that's good. That's good. I appreciate that. I'm not worried about what she's saying, by the way. about you. Hey, let me introduce. I'm excited about our guest today. Let me give you some background on him. I knew about him for a really long time. And at our golf outing this year, Gary Ellerson and I were sitting in the same cart. And Gary said, hey, when are you going to have my guy on your high school football show? I said, who's your guy? He said, Glenn Derby. I said, man, he's doing a nice job at St. John's. And he said, he is. Hold on a second. And he called him. He's like, where are you at? And he handed me the phone, and I got a chance to talk to Coach Derby and say, hey, look, can we get you in? I've not had a chance to talk St. John's, Delafield St. John's football very often. And you guys are having a great year at St. John's Northwest Military Academy is the correct name of that school now. And he said, yeah, come on. So he brought some of his guys in and made a comment that he listens to Faith in the Zone. And we talked a little bit about, you know, where he's at and thought he'd be a perfect guest for Faith in the Zone. Glenn, it's good to see you. How you been?
Excellent. It's great to see you, too, and thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, Glenn is, so you know Pastor Ken. He is an Oconomowoc grad. He got Wisconsin Badger guy as well, went and played offensive line for the Badgers, got drafted, played for the New Orleans Saints and the Green Bay Packers. So he's played at a really high level. And I'm looking forward to getting some stories from him and talk a little bit about that. Hey, Glenn, looking at your background and your research, man, how you got to Oconomowoc's pretty interesting story. Can we talk a little bit about kind of growing up? And you've tried a lot of different things, man.
Yeah, I have. When I tell people some of my story, they all, not all of them, but a lot of them will say, man, you need to write a book. And I'm like, I hear that a lot. It's one of those things where we don't get to choose our family. We don't get to choose our way of growing up. And our caregivers are basically selected by, chance and as I like to look at it now, God did that. And so I grew up in an interesting way. My dad was playing football for Duke University, where he got injured and decided to leave and go into the working world. And at 6 months old, I moved to Texas, where my dad was running a painting contracting company. We lived in a couple houses, a couple different neighborhoods there. When I was just in kindergarten, they decided that they wanted to become ranchers. And so we moved to Wyoming. And I lived in, I went to first grade, half of first grade, in a little town called Buffalo, Wyoming. And then we moved to the place that my dad was working didn't work out, so we moved to a place in Hysham, Montana, where I went to half of my first grade year there, and then some of second grade, I think like three quarters of second grade there. And the farmer that, or the rancher that my dad was working for, said, you know, you need to find a different career. My dad was like, no. So we ended up moving to another town called Red Lodge, Montana, where I stayed for a summer, and then my dad was working for a guy who said, you need to go back to school. And so my dad decided to go to Montana State University. And so then we moved to Bozeman, Montana, where I went to fourth and fifth grade, I believe. And then they moved to Hysham, Montana, where I went to fifth and sixth. And then finally thought I was going to be somewhere where I was very happy and stable, which was my dad got a teaching job and a head football coach at Red Lodge, Montana, where we moved. And I went to basically junior high there. And then my dad got the calling to become a priest and looked all over the country and decided he wanted to go to Neshota House Seminary. And that's how I got to Oconomowoc.
Wow.
Which was right before my sophomore year in high school.
Boy, I'd love to know the football coach. Was it Coach Rux back
yes,
then?
Yes, yes.
What he was thinking when he saw you walking in. Because you're a big guy. Were you a big guy back then?
Well, when I was right before my freshman year in high school, I was 6'5", 187 pounds.
Yeah, that's pretty
so
big.
So basketball, I think the basketball coaches were more happy about me.
I would think that, yeah.
And I loved basketball. That was my sport. I played football because my dad was a football coach, and he loved football. And I love football. I mean, when I was in Texas, I really wanted to play for the Cowboys. And that was kind of cool. I got to play in the same stadium that I went to when I was in first grade and actually played there. So that was a cool experience. But yeah, I was more of a basketball player. Yes, was he excited? I think he was. You know, and in my sophomore year, you know, everyone was talking when I got in that, you know, I was going to be varsity, but well, I didn't make the varsity team. They had Oconomowoc at that time had a very good football program. And so I did play on my sophomore team and, you know, played a lot of basketball and ended up, you know, obviously playing varsity and getting some scholarship offers, which was cool.
Hey, when you decided to play at Wisconsin, had you had other offers at that point to go different places, and how did you choose Wisconsin?
You know, I went on four different visits. I was going to go on a fifth, and I had pretty much by that time, Dave McLean, who was also a very spiritual man, and was just he was the most genuine coach that I met. So I met, Nebraska was coming after me. Tom Osborne really wanted me to go there. Clemson at the time, Purdue, Minnesota,
Oklahoma.
No, not Oklahoma.
Oh man, well, yeah, no. I needed to call.
I don't know if I had that southern accent enough to go down there, but
yeah. Oh, I can get it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
easy.
You know, it really came down to I felt so comfortable with Dave, and I went to a couple Badger games, and you know they were up and coming. They beat Michigan, who came in at number one, and we beat them, and you know the program was really on its way up, and I was very excited about being part of that, and so. Yeah, I had other scholarship offers, but I did decide Wisconsin was where I wanted to go.
That was hard then, on you as a young man with Coach McLean passing.
It was one of the more difficult things I've gone through. I was also at Platteville coaching after I was done with my career trying to get my degree, and I was with George Crist, who also passed away when I was there. So I had two great coaches that I really loved pass on. And you know, Dave was something that we didn't recover from at Wisconsin for a long time. I think, you know, Jim Hillis did the best he could taking over. You know, Dave died after the spring game, and
right.
There wasn't much time to get ready for the fall, so they just had Hillis as the interim, and we had a bad year, and we had a lot of talent, and we only ended up 3-9 that year, and I think a lot of it was because of, you know, losing Dave, and a lot of the players did not get over that real well. And you know, when life throws stuff at you, you know, it's tough, and I think that it affected me still to this day. Dave's comments and quotes I use all the time with my players and with myself.
Hey, in one of the articles that I read about you, you made a comment that said, look, he was like a second father to me. That's what I thought of him and how much respect I had for him as a man. And to have a player say that about, and I've coached for a long time, to have a player say those words, look, he was like a second father to me.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It was huge, and he really was very influential in my life, and still is to this day. I think often of Dave and what he, those 3 years that I was with him, those are the real deal. Yeah.
Look, and this is Faith in the Zone, so I'm not going to put you on the spot with this next question. So let me just say it, and you can nod if you like. I think the decision making after Coach McClain, that next coach they brought in, I think a lot of people would agree that that was not the right move.
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
I know you are.
I've been kind to.
Look, I'm a media guy. I'm just telling you how I feel, and you can either shake it. When we go to a break, I'll get what you really feel. But I thought that was a really bad decision. Obviously, the decision after that to bring Coach Alvarez in, they've never looked back after that. The program.
And Alvarez was the reason my brother went to Iowa. I mean, Alvarez was just phenomenal. You know, he recruited my brother. He was the linebacker coach at Iowa.
Right.
John went there, and I would have loved to played for a guy like Alvarez. That would have been really cool. I was very fortunate. I was able to play with Dave. Some of the things that we talk about now here, 30 some years later, with some of the players from that era, was what would have it been like had Dave been around? Because my brother at Iowa, he always goes back with Hayden, and all the guys stick together. Kind of when we all left, we didn't go back.
Wow.
And so there wasn't that that community of, normal players go through when they are with a program that's successful and has a good coaching staff. They'll keep going back every year. And,
sure.
It's like a camaraderie thing.
Do you go back for Badger games now?
I do now. I did not go back for probably, I pretty much, when I left football, I was in a really bad way. And I'm sure
we'll talk about that. Yeah.
But, I left the game of football for a while and was very bitter, angry, and didn't want anything to do with it. So I think it was, I'm going to say 10 years before I went back to a Badger game after I left. I didn't even go to Madison. I stayed away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to get to a break. He is Glenn Derby. He is the head football coach at St. John's Northwest Military Academy. They made the playoffs this year, and that was a big deal for that program, and really impressed with the job he did there. He is an Oconomowoc grad, former offensive lineman for the Badgers, the New Orleans Saints, and the Green Bay Packers. And he does something that not a lot of people around here do. He does a thing called TrenchTraining.com. You can go to TrenchTraining.com. That is a place for offensive linemen, for young kids, for some of the big boys that want to learn a better stance, to learn how to be a better offensive lineman. And if you go to that website, take a look at the coaches that he has with him. These are all guys that have played either offense or defensive line at a really high level. And they don't have the camp set for next year, but they're coming. Trench Training, it's oneword.com. And I would highly recommend you take a look at that. We're going to get to his testimony. And that, look, he is, we've said on this show that some guys that come on, the worst thing they've ever done in their life is steal a candy bar. And then we've got other guys like me and Pastor Daryl Strawberry. Well, Glenn's going to be in my category on this thing. I can tell you that right now. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Oh, welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner. He's the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. And our special guest in studio, he's Glenn Derby, former Wisconsin Badger, New Orleans Saint, and Green Bay Packer, offensive lineman, head football coach at St. John's Northwest Military Academy. You can follow him on Twitter at GDerby79. And I would recommend that. He's pretty entertaining on Twitter. GDerby79 is how you can follow him. Hey, last question, and then Pastor, we're going to talk to Glenn about his testimony, his walk. Mm-hmm. When you ended up in New Orleans and then playing. And I know you were on the Packers for a while. Did you play for the Packers or you got hurt early, right?
I got hurt in training camp. I was actually starting at center with for James Campen, who was injured, and got in a scrimmage and tweaked my ankle, and then I ended up getting hit by Bryce Pop, and that pretty much ended my career.
Did it really?
Well, yeah. I ended up going to Detroit and trying out for them and flunked the physical, but yeah, that was pretty much the end.
What did you hurt, your ankle?
Ankle. I had both ankles, and I had when Bryce hit me, he basically hit, you know, that nerve that goes down into your arm. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like a stinger where my whole arm went paralyzed, and I was pretty loopy, and it was all I wanted.
You know, all these things that we talk about with Glenn as far as where he played and where he's coaching and the camps he's doing, the most important thing for him, I think, is his daughters, Savannah and Scarlett. The first time we talked, Coach, one of your daughters was going to the hospital because she had an ankle injury, correct?
She dislocated her ankle, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. You were like, hey, look, I'll come in, but I got to go right now because I've got my daughter at emergency. Right. And was it a volleyball?
Yeah, she was playing volleyball and landed on her toe and rolled over it and dislocated it. Yeah.
Where does she go to school?
New Berlin West.
She does.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Pastor, it's good to have you back because you get to always tee up our favorite question.
Yeah, I do. And Glenn, we're glad to have you. One of the things I love about Faith in the Zone is we do talk sports, but then we get that opportunity to find out how a person's journey with Christ began. You know, it's, you know, Mike, I think we'll have people say, hey, we kind of like that religious show you do. And
I love that.
And he said, hey, it's not a religious show.
No, I don't believe in religion, yeah, man. It's a faith-based show.
Yeah, and it's all about relationship, and Christ is the one we have the relationship with. And so we'll let you go, Glenn. Share with us how you came to know the Lord.
So I mentioned, thank you for having me on, and I really appreciate the opportunity to get to talk about this. When I was a little kid, with all that moving, with stuff that happened, there were some things that went on in my life that I'm not real familiar with or can recall. And you know, I've gotten to the point where I don't blame, I don't focus on fault. What I focus on is, you know, what did it do to me? Why did it do to me? What has it caused me to have to do as an adult? I was a very angry young man, starting at about the age of 12, maybe a little younger, and was very rebellious. One of the things that we had when we were in Wyoming is I ended up working with an Indian guy. His name was Indian Joe, and I spent a summer with him on a ranch doing odds and ends things, you know, that kids do, and he was kind of took me on under his wing, and he talked to me a lot about the Indian culture, and it was very, very appealing to me, and I read every Louis L'Amour book that there is, and I would read them, you know, over and over again, and the cowboys and the Indians and all of that lore was just phenomenal to me. So, you know, when my parents would talk about God and church and all of that, we didn't really go to church much, although my parents seemed to think we went more than I remember going. I didn't really understand God. I didn't understand Jesus. Of course, at Christmas time, you always hear about it. And, you know, I would try to understand it, but it was hard. And I really just really went to the Indian spirituality. And that was very much what I thought for a long time. When I got to Red Lodge and my dad and mom did start going to the Episcopal Church, I became one of those altar boys, and my favorite thing as being an acolyte as an altar boy was I got to help the priest drink the wine. You know, and there were many times, and I, you know, this is part of my story, and I don't tell people, you know, that this is the way to go. It is the way I went, and I started drinking very early, and I had I drank different than others and realized I had a drinking problem later in life. I look back on it, and it was a significant drinking problem, and all the way through high school, I kind of went through, you know, I would go to church and I would sit there hungover and go, you know, and it was one of those, you know, Episcopal is a great religion for some people. I didn't like it. It was repetitive. It was the same thing every week other than the message. And it was pretty boring. And I didn't really grasp into the concepts of what they were talking about. It made no sense to me. When I was 19, I had and I'm not going to bring it up because I don't want to give away someone else's issues, but I was in a tavern and I saw a gentleman that I really respected who was at the tavern as well, and he was actually kissing on a woman, and he was a big guy in our church, and he's married. And it to me, I was like, you know what? The hypocrisy is enough for me, and I left. I was done. So 19 years old, I was done with church. Didn't go back other than a wedding or funeral till I was in my 40s. And my daughter was 2 at the time, I believe, Savannah. And my ex-wife was in Florida with her father-in-law. And I had told her that I wanted my girls to at least experience what church was like. And neither one of us wanted to go to church. Neither of us went to church. And I, like I said, I didn't go for 20-some years or more. And I was at the movie, and there was this flyer that says, church at the movie theater. And I'm like, you know what? At least there's a comfortable seat. I'll go give it a shot. And so my ex-wife went to Florida, and she was gone for a few weeks taking care of her father. And so Savannah and I went to the Ridge Cinema. I think we went 3 weeks in a row. And it was pretty cool. I dropped my daughter off in one theater, and they had all the kids' activities in the theater on the stage there. And then I went to another theater and sat there, and they had this really good rock music, Christian rock music, and the pastor gave messages that were like hit me right between the eyes. And when my ex-wife came back, I said, hey, we got to go to this church. And she said, yeah, okay, we'll try it. And Sunday morning came, tried to get her up to go to church. No. Then I didn't go. Well, then her and I ended up having some pretty major issues. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going back to church. Well, at that time, the church had left the Ridge, and they went to Whitnall Auditorium. So I started going there every week, and I would go there, and I would just pray. I'm like, you know, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know why I'm coming here, but I need help. I'm not happy. My life's miserable. And Mark, the pastor, would give and I would say, God, just tell me something. He'd give a message. And there was one message where I was really praying what to do about my marriage, and he had a sermon that said, he goes, when you choose to follow, it's going to cost you. It may cost you a little, it may cost you a lot. Some people it costs their whole career, some people it costs their financial, some people it costs their place of living, some people it costs their marriage. And when he said that, I got this like unbelievably hot. It was a hot, like I felt like something just stabbed me in my chest, and it was super hot. And I'm like, oh my God. So if I choose to follow, what's going to happen? And it could be major. And I'm like, okay, do I really want to do this? And so then for the next, you know, several months and going on probably a year or so, all I did was I would go and pray, you know, what do I do? What do I do? And the messages that he would give me on those Sundays would ring true most of the days that I would go, oh, okay. He would say, read this in this part. So I would read it. And one time he said, you know, take if you want to go into the Bible, one of the best things to do is just read what Jesus said. Don't read all the other stuff. Just read what he actually said and then try to apply it to your life. So I started doing that. And after doing all that, I did end up getting divorced. You know, it was not an easy thing to do. It's still, you know, but I believe it was the right thing to do for both of us. And, you know, it's a difficult thing to follow, and it's hard. And I did end up getting baptized. I did end up turning my life over to him. And I do fully understand my relationship with Jesus now. And it's not a religious thing. It's a spiritual It's a relationship and an understanding that I have that's totally different than I could ever describe.
It's 100%. He is Glenn Derby again. He's our special guest here this week on Faith in the Zone. He's a local guy, offensive lineman for the Badgers, the New Orleans Saints, and the Green Bay Packers, head football coach at St. John's Northwest Military Academy. Pastor?
Yeah, Glenn, thank you for sharing, you know, how you came really to know the Lord. And what's interesting is that God doesn't expect us to clean ourselves up, you know, and then come to him. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to save righteous people. I came to save sinners, which we all are. And that God so worked in your life, you recognize that, and then you recognize that Jesus is the one who paid it all for you. And I'm thankful, you know, Glenn, for that time that I made that decision to put my faith and trust in the Lord. And Mike and I are always excited. And many times Mike is moved, you know, and we're all moved because it's powerful when you hear how another person came to know Jesus. And And really, that's what the program's about. And I hope there will be people out there who will come to know the Lord just by listening to testimonies of our guests.
You know, with his testimony for me, Pastor, you know, the hardest thing to overcome as Christians is when we make a mistake, when people are viewing us and they say, what a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't go into a church for 20 years, because he saw a guy in his church kissing a girl in a bar, and he went, what a hypocrite. And it's really difficult for us as Christian men to get other people to understand, look, I sin every day. You know, we try to put the full body of armor on, and I sometimes fail before I get out of bed. And you just, people look at us different. You know, we are it's just the way we act in public, and we have to understand that people are watching us. And it caused him 20 years not to go into a church because he said, look, that guy was a hypocrite. And so, like Glenn, it took me a long time to figure it out. I mean, he's probably a better football player. I don't think he could block me if I was an edge rusher, but however,
is that a challenge?
He challenges everybody. Okay, trust me.
You want no part of this, young man. Yeah, I'm just telling you.
I got you.
100% Irish. I fight dirty. I'm just kidding. But you know, but our background, you know, kind of similar. And as far as some of the things that we did when we were younger, and I envy people that have figured it out. I certainly envy a guy like you that figured it out really early in your life, Pastor, but other people that listen, and people we've had on Faith in the Zone that are in their teens or in their 20s when they have, you know, accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And look, you're not going to wake up the next day and everything's going to be rainbows and butterflies. Right. You still have challenges. And there are times, I think, and for me personally, that first year was the most difficult, I think, because you know what? Satan doesn't want to give up one of his guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of temptation going all over the place at that point. And, you know, so Glenn, thank you so much for that. And I really appreciate it. We have to get to a break. Let's have a break. We'll continue our conversation with Glenn Derby. Again, Oconomowoc grad. He played football at a really high level. You can follow him on Twitter at GDerby79. And if you have a young man that wants to be an offensive or defensive lineman, I would highly recommend one word, trench training. TRENCH, trenchtraining.com, and look at what these guys are doing with camps around the state of Wisconsin for young kids as early as probably third grade, I think, right,
Clint? We do have some, Illinois has some third graders that we've worked with, Fifth grade usually in Wisconsin, but, you know, we have worked with young guys.
Yeah. So take a look at that if you have interest, and after hearing his testimony, you know that this is a guy you certainly can trust with your kids and teach them the game of football if they want to be an offense or defensive lineman. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by
Brain Balance of Mequon.
Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner for Brookside Baptist Church. Our special in-studio guest, he's Glenn Derby. Again, former NFL player, offensive lineman for your Wisconsin Badgers, and head football coach at St. John's Northwest Military Academy. You know, Pastor, his testimony for me really rings out. And, you know, a lot of similarities to some of the things that I went through. And, Glenn, I got to ask you, when you get asked, if you get asked to speak much, and when you do, how much of your history do you bring to the table? And the reason for the question is I get asked at Brookside a couple of times now, and then other churches will call and say, hey, we're doing a men's group. Would you come and speak and talk a little bit about your testimony and talk about Faith in the Zone? And the first time I did it, when I was done, I was embarrassed. It's embarrassing, right? And I said to the pastor, hey, look, I appreciate the opportunity, but I'll never do this again. And he said, let me tell you something. On your show, you talk about guys, the worst thing they ever did was steal a candy bar. I'm one of those guys. We had 270 men here tonight. And I bet there's 30 or 40 of them that are going through the same struggle you went through. And I can't talk to them because I haven't. I can, but I haven't been where they're at, but you have. And you're uncomfortable, embarrassed. Well, get over it. Because the Lord wants you here talking to these guys. And I said, I'm never talking to you again. Don't talk to me, man. And I'm wondering for you personally, that part of it, because it wasn't just drinking. I know there was some painkiller and some drug use through that journey as well.
Yeah, I do get asked to speak occasionally, and I'm very much a believer that whenever the opportunity presents itself, I am responsible to reach out. And, you know, Jesus' message is number one is, you know, what is the most important thing is to love others. And, you know, I believe that. And in loving others, you have to. So here's the thing. It would be very easy for me when I was just getting out of football. I was very judgmental, and I was very much, you know, I'll give you a story. I went into a treatment facility because of my first wife, and in the process, there was a counselor there that said that they had a bed for me, and I said, "What the no?" I said, "There's no way I'm going in. We're here to help my first wife." And in the process, he asked me, he said, "Would you please consider outpatient?" And I said, "Okay, I will." So I went to some outpatient, and then I started going to the program for recovering alcoholics. And in that program, there's a lot of times where you spend a lot of energy and a lot of time talking about your story, you know, your experience, your strength, your hope. And as you put some sobriety behind you, you start to understand. And the anonymous part of the program is awesome. And there's a lot of people out there, and I respect the heck out of them, that don't let people know that they have had a problem or have a problem. And I'm one of the ones that I'm totally open to my story. Some of my story is very ugly. Some of my story is very embarrassing. Some of my story is one that I'm not proud of. But if I can help one person make a decision to change their life based on what my story was, then it's worth it, and I'm okay with it. So, you know, I'll go to places like here. You didn't prep me at all for this meeting other than say, come talk, and I didn't know where it was going to go. And I always say before I speak or where I go anywhere, I say, God, your word's not mine. And I believe that they're going to be his words, and I will let it go wherever it goes. If it comes up where I'm really difficult stuff, if God moves within me and those words come out, so be it. And I will, you know, it's not always prideful. It's you know, your pride can get hurt, and you can walk out of there going, oh, I really feel like a piece of crap. But there's other people in the audience, and there's many that are judging. And you know what? To them, great. You can judge me. That's fine. I don't worry about it.
Glenn, I'll say this to people: if Lord's willing to accept guys like, you know, us, man, come on. To the people that are listening, you know, look, if you're struggling with something and you're thinking, man, I'm not worthy for this. That's not true. If you start that journey, he'll meet you. And Pastor, we've had this conversation. He'll meet you right where you're at.
Yeah, and he changes you from the inside out. Yeah. You know, people will say, well, I got to get cleaned up, then I'm going to come to Jesus. No, Jesus takes you right where you are, and you recognize your sinful condition, and you come to trust Jesus. I mean, he's the one who paid for our sin. I mean, I love it that he said, you know, his final words, it's finished. He didn't say, hey, it's almost done, now it's up to you. He goes, I have paid for it. And then he went to heaven. And he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God because he did it.
And when he was here, who was he hanging with? He was hanging with the prostitutes and the tax collectors. And I look at that and say, okay, you know what? You know, we have a lot of there's a lot of things going on politically and racially and so forth in our country right now. And the bottom line is we're all human beings and we're all his children. And we need to spend our energy helping all of the humans, not just the ones that are like us or think like us, believe like us, act like us. It's all humans.
And it gets harder and harder.
It does.
You know, it's a very, not only in politically, but in churches, it can be very divisive. And you know what? We went through something at Brookside a couple years ago that, I was praying like crazy that we're going to come out stronger on the other end, and we have. We have. But there are some issues, and Pastor, I'll say it, you don't need to, but there are some issues of you know, people thinking that church wasn't going the right direction, wasn't being run correctly, wasn't. And look, I sit in the same pew, man, and I tell Pastor he's going too long. You know, I'm the valet driver, so I'm not the guy that is there in all the meetings and stuff. But boy, you know, even at the church level, when we should be all as one, absolutely, family, yeah, for one reason, and you know, we're here just for an audience of one. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so if the church is going to be divisive as well, it's hard. Lord's giving you a great platform. So whenever you get a chance to speak, Glenn, get out there and do it, Pastor.
Yeah, you know, Mike, right along with what you're saying, you know, and Glenn, God established three institutions. He established the family. He established government to have order in society, and he established the church. And the enemy, Satan, has attacked all three. Mm-hmm. All three are on fire today. And it gets back to the enemy. He loves religion. He loves the fact that people are going to trust something other than Jesus to think they can get to heaven, because only Jesus is the one that's going to get us there. And so he is just constantly attacking whatever God established or what God created.
Yeah, and that's the tough part, because now when someone says, and we talked about this in the beginning, you know, when I see somebody in a grocery store and they go, "Hey, aren't you Mike McGivern?" Yep. And they'll come up and whisper, "Hey, I like that religious show you do." Well, it's not. And how many religions are there?
There's probably about, I think it was around 30,000.
Yeah, 30,000. So you want to talk about being divisive?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, that in itself is so divisive. And so when you talk about that part of it, Glenn, I agree. And, you know, we had Tony Dungy on when he talked about the platform that the Lord's given us. The Lord gave you a great platform. I mean, when you can give the business card that says, "Look, I was a lineman for the Wisconsin Badgers, the New Orleans Saints, and the Green Bay Packers," that immediately gets people's notice.
Yeah.
Immediately. Says, you know what, this guy played a really high level, and man, you know what, we should probably listen to what he has to say. And I think that is important when you get asked to get out there and speak. Make sure that you give the whole story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Who was it? Was it Don Beebe that... Frank Wright told him, you know, "Hey, get out there and start talking with me, and we're going to go talk to people." And Frank was real big.
Well, BB said, "No, I don't do that. I don't like public speaking." He goes, "Well, that's because you think this is about you, right?"
That's right.
It's not about you.
Right.
Yeah. And BB was like, "I go all the time now whenever I get asked," because he was right. It's not about me.
Right.
It's about going out there and talking about what the Lord's done in my life. Hey, before we get to a break, and normally I'll prep our guests for this question, but I'm going to ask you. You weren't, and when you were playing football, not real strong in your faith at that point. So to ask you if it was easier to walk worthy inside the locker room or outside the locker room wouldn't fit for you. However, when you were in the locker room in Green Bay and Wisconsin and New Orleans, were there a group of Christian players? And how did you feel as a non-Christian at that point about those guys?
You know, there were. And there were some phenomenal family men at the time. And here I was, a guy going out to the bars and the taverns and doing all the stuff that I did. And I would look at them. And I would look and go, "How in the heck do you guys do this?" And I would look at him with admiration going, and some of it was I would think that they were weak, which is really weird, because I thought, I'm a tough guy. And, you know, these guys are weak because they live like that. They're good to their wives. They got kids. And they would go home. When we would say, "Let's go out and get messed up," they would go home to their wife and kids, and I'd be like, "Those guys are babies, you know," or whatever. But I secretly inside I'd go, how do they have the strength to do that? And I had a roommate, Joel Hilgenberg was a great friend of mine and a roommate of mine for a couple years. And you know, his brother played for the Chicago and Joel was an he was an all pro NFL guy who I lived with for a couple years, and he was a guy who didn't spend a lot of money. He lived a good life. He didn't go out and get, you know, and I would look at him and I go, "Man, why can't I be like that?"
And I had the, you know, you talked about Satan, and I believe this, that, you know, Satan uses things to get us to follow him, and alcohol is a really good one. Mm-hmm. That he can use really easily. And I was, you know, so addicted to it that, you know, I just overlooked all that. And I just thought they were weak. But to be honest with you, I admired the heck out of them, and I really wished I was one of them.
Hey, we got to get to a break. Sorry, Pastor. I know you want to follow up, and we will. We'll follow up on that question because I've got a follow-up one as well. You know, this is the first time we've been able to ask that kind, and it doesn't surprise me at all that he thought, boy, I wish he could be more like them. But you know what? Are they a little bit weak? And I love that answer. We'll get to a break. Our special guest, Glenn Derby, again, former NFL player, former lineman for the Wisconsin Badgers. And you can check out his website if you've got a son or a nephew that's interested in being a better offensive lineman, TrenchTraining.com. That's TrenchTraining.com. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner for Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest, Glenn Derby, again, former NFL player, played for the Badgers, and is now the head football coach at St. John's Northwest Military Academy. Pastor?
You know, Glenn, when you were talking there about guys that you admired and so forth, it brought me back to the story. Tom Roy is a close friend of ours with Faith in the Zone, and he was with the San Francisco Giants baseball, and he said, man, I'm going to spring training. I'm thinking it's going to be great. And I go in, and it's a room with bunk beds, you know, and I'm in there with three other guys.
That first night.
Yeah, that first night. And he said, you know, and I don't know the Lord, and I'm doing my own thing. And he goes, God put me in a room with three Christians. When I got up, they're having a Bible study. And so it's amazing how God can bring people into your life that you think, man, and exactly, Jesus said, I want you to be light and salt. I want you to make people thirsty that want to know me. And God brought some guys in your life that you thought, what do they have that I don't have? So
There were two gentlemen that I want to bring up for that. One was my first roommate in college, Rodney Lasso. He's up in Minnesota, Minneapolis right now. And he would every night would read his Bible. And every night he would do 250 push-ups. And every night he'd do 500 sit-ups. And the guy was so disciplined in what he did. And he would take me to Bible studies. I went with Jim Gantner once. And I went with these other guys. And every time I'd go there, I'd say, this just ain't for me. And I tried. I literally tried. I would say to myself, I need to follow this. I need to do this. But I couldn't buy into it. And then another guy, Craig Raddatz, who played with me at Madison and played in the NFL for a short time. Craig, a phenomenal follower and phenomenal guy, and he's been doing this his whole entire life. And I always used to think that he was kind of weak. And I liked him as a person, but I just could never. And now in these last like 10 years or so, him and I have become very close. And it's amazing to have these people that, you know, are able to at a young age follow. You know, I think Craig turned his life over at around 9 or 10, and Rodney was in his high school years when they did. And it's amazing. And, you know, it's the same thing I used to get with the footballs. I would get very upset at myself saying I didn't go to where I thought I should. Because, you know, in all rights, with my talent and my ability, I could have easily played in the NFL for a long time, and I could have easily been an all-star and all those kinds of things. However, I chose a different life. And you know, God gives us that free will. And I let Satan, you know, into my life, and I didn't follow and fight hard enough to keep him away. I had, you know, God gave us messages, and he gave us things all along that very easily I could have said, why did that heat-seeking chest thing that I got, why was that it? I'm sure I got other ones when I was younger that I just didn't pay attention to.
Didn't pay attention to.
Well, we're thankful you did, and that you know you're on your way to heaven.
I appreciate
right
it.
Now.
I am thankful too.
We're thankful for that.
Grateful.
Pastor, we got about 4 minutes.
Okay, here's a question Glenn would love to ask is, okay, you're in the sporting world, whether it's basketball or football, what was one of your more exciting moments in sports that you will go back and go, man, I remember either that block or that play or that bucket or something along that line that really to this day stands out to you?
I would say there's one in particular that always stands out. And, you know, so you're going through your freshman year training camp. And at the time in Madison, we were at the seminary. And you're out there and you're going against guys like Daryl Sims and Jim Melka and all these guys that played in the NFL that just beat the crap out of you as a freshman. And, you know, you're on that
Scout team.
And, you know, you don't want to be on there and you're getting the crap beat out of you. You're telling your parents you want to quit and blah, blah, blah. And a coach told me one thing. He said, Glenn, you need to learn how to play lower. You're a 6'6" guy. You got to play lower. And so for the next couple of weeks, I concentrated and focused on playing lower. Lo and behold, I got off the scout team and put on as a backup for Jeff Dellenbach and Chris Oswald. I was their backup as a freshman, true freshman, and they wanted to redshirt me. I ended up making the travel squad.
Wow.
And the first time running out into all those stadiums that you see on TV, it's an experience that, you know, you cannot describe to anyone else. But running out in front of 80,000 screaming people, and you're down on the field, and you're looking up at all these people, it's an amazing experience.
Overwhelming.
It's
huh?
overwhelming, and yeah. It was so cool. And all 5 years that I was at Madison, my favorite part was when I was sitting in the locker room and I'd hear the band go by and the tubas and the trumpets would be playing some thing, and it's like, okay, it's getting to be game time, and I'd get jacked up, and then you go down to
the tunnel.
And you come out that tunnel, and I, you know what the Badgers do now, they've got that whole lights and you get to see it up
on
cool.
the board.
It's
yeah.
it's awesome.
You know, and you know? Playing at the Big House and the Shoe and yeah. all these, you know, all these stadiums in the Big Ten that we watch every week had to be incredible.
Well, and I tell people this, you know, we beat Ohio State 3 out of the 5 years I was there, and I was in the Shoe down in that one side, and we had to drive out to end the game, and it was so loud, and I was playing tackle at the time, or a guard, I don't remember which, but I was looking up at Bud Keys, and I'm looking, and I cannot hear a thing coming out of his mouth. And I couldn't hear him say, set, go. We had to watch the ball just like the defense. It was so deafening loud, you couldn't hear anything. And so we were all kind of guessing what the play was or what the audible was. He was yelling.
And we
ended up doing it because it was amazing, yeah.
Hey, guys, we got to get out. Glenn, thank you so much for your time. First of all, it's really good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
And I appreciate you know, you coming on my high school show and meeting me out at that pick and save for the student athlete. What a great bunch of young men that you're helping lead over at St. John's Northwest Military Academy. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at GDerby79 or go to the website that him and a bunch of his guys are teaching offensive defensive linemen how to grow up as a big kid. Because sometimes you get picked on a little bit, and not only teaching them better stance and how to be an offensive defensive lineman, but really life lessons. TrenchTraining.com. TrenchTraining.com. Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.